Drive Time on RT Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When it comes to pensions, performance counts. Speak to a financial broker about a Zurich pension.
Tweet at Drive Time RTE.
Nikita Hand continued to give evidence in a High Court civil trial today, alleging that mixed martial arts Conor McGregor brutally raped and battered her in a Dublin hotel. Orla O'Donnell, RT's legal affairs correspondent, was in court today. And Orla, before proceedings got underway today, there was a note from the jury. What more can you tell us about that?
Well, at the beginning of the hearing, Sarah, when the jury came out, the foreman handed a note to the judge, Mr. Justice Alexander Owens. And the judge said the note described how members of the jury were concerned because at the end of proceedings yesterday, they had seen someone up in the public gallery, which is above the courtroom, pointing a phone at them. And they were concerned videos or photographs would be circulated to the public. Now, the judge said he couldn't verify this, but if it did happen, it was completely inappropriate. And he said he'd be keeping a careful eye out, and he was asking a Garda to remain in the public gallery. And he warned that it was contempt of court to take photographs of a jury and steps will be taken to deal with it if anyone was found doing it. He also said he didn't want anyone standing in the public gallery and no one would be able to remain there unless they had a seat. There had been people almost hanging over the edge of the gallery looking down into the courtroom.
Yeah, Ms. Hand's cross-examination by Mr. McGregor's counsel continued today. What more did we hear?
Well, Remy Farrell questioned Nikita Hand about a recording played to the court. We heard about that yesterday. And this was a conversation between Ms. Hand and her boyfriend after she came home in the early hours of Monday morning. She had gone out to her Christmas party on the Saturday night. And she agreed she had told her boyfriend the person who had raped her would kill her and agreed she was referring to Conor McGregor. Now, Remy Farrell put it to her that she had never suggested to Gardaí that Mr. McGregor had threatened to kill her. And he asked her if that was something that had happened or didn't happen. And she said she couldn't remember. Mr. Farrell said he was taking her through the lies he said she had told her boyfriend. He accused her of weaving a web of lies. And she said she had lied to her boyfriend and said that wasn't a crime, but what happened to her was a crime. He asked her about her claim in these proceedings, these are civil proceedings, for loss of earnings and her suggestion that if these events hadn't occurred, she would have set up her own salon. She said she would have loved to do that. And Mr. Farrell suggested she didn't have the qualifications to do it. She said she felt she would have. And he also asked her about her Instagram story, a picture she put up on her Instagram story on the night of December the 8th, 2018, when she first went out. And she said that Mr. McGregor didn't follow her on Instagram, but she followed him. And she agreed the only way he would see a picture that she put up on Instagram was if she selected him, if she brought it to his attention. And she said you can select people to share your story with, and he was one of the people she selected.
She was then cross-examined by counsel for the other man, James Lawrence.
Yes, senior counsel John Fitzgerald pointed out that James Lawrence was in the case not because of anything she had said, but because of what he had said himself. He'd brought himself into the case by telling Gardaí that he had consensual sex with Nikita Hand twice on the same evening after Mr. McGregor had left the Beacon Hotel. And she said she thought Mr. Lawrence was absolutely lying about having had sex with her. He also put it to her that she had not fallen asleep after the alleged rape, as she had claimed, but he said instead there was a lot going on. And he suggested that she and Conor McGregor were being very affectionate. They were happy and laughing. She said she didn't remember. And he suggested that she had sex again with Mr. McGregor and could be heard having a good time, not a bad time. Now, she described all this as another made-up story. Mr. Fitzgerald put it to her that she did remember it, but that it was not a good look for someone who was accusing a man of rape to have sex with his friend twice afterwards. Mr. Fitzgerald also played the CCTV footage from that evening to her again, putting it to her that she was being affectionate with James Lawrence and she didn't look like someone who was distressed at being violently raped earlier in the afternoon. She said she had no memory of the events on CCTV. And she was then re-examined by her own lawyers and she was shown photographs of her clothing and underwear taken by Gardaí, showing damage to them. And she was asked if they were in that state before she went out. She said no. She said the damage happened when her clothes were pulled aggressively, she said, by Conor McGregor.
We also heard from two more witnesses. What did they say, Orla?
Yes, firstly, we heard from Emer Brennan, who was Nikita Hand's manager at her hair salon where she worked. And Ms. Hand also went to her house before going home to her boyfriend after these events. And Ms. Brennan told the court Ms. Hand had texted her saying that she and her friend had gone to a hotel with Conor McGregor. And in the text, she had said, "He raped me, Emer. I'm black and blue," and asked how she would explain it to her boyfriend. She described that when Ms. Hand arrived at her house, she looked shook. She described seeing injuries to Ms. Hand's arms, breast, thighs, bum, jaw and neck. And she said she photographed these injuries, but a few days later, Ms. Hand rang her, worried and frantic, after there had been some publication of material on social media, and she asked her to delete the photographs. And the final witness was Detective Sergeant John Ryan, who spoke to Nikita Hand the following morning when she was at the sexual assault treatment unit in the Rotunda Hospital. He described her as being extremely distressed. His notes record her as saying she was terrified of the man who raped her, but she wouldn't name him to Gardaí. She said she was afraid for herself and her family and said she wasn't pressing charges, although she did later make statements to Gardaí. And that's where matters finished up this afternoon. The case is due to resume on Tuesday.
RT's legal affairs correspondent Orla O'Donnell, thank you very much.